Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So how do you view money? Are you financially stressed or perhaps a little bit more optimistic? And if you are, what is actually driving these motivators and decisions behind you? Someone who will tell us more about this, especially from the context of the 43rd edition of the Sanlam 2024 Benchmark Research, is Nzwa Shoniwa, Managing Executive at Sanlam Umbrella Solutions. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Nzwa, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Gugu.
A delight to speak to you, Say. And I guess the first thing that we need to do is obviously just reflect on the research, 43rd edition. So this has been going on for quite some time, analyzing the psychological effects that influence our financial outcomes and just our perspective on money. Help us understand, firstly, why this report remains important and how it also shows us how our financial decisions might be driven.
Yeah, thanks, Gugu. So we've been running the research mainly to try and track behavior within the retirement fund space in South Africa. So what we've tracked previously was just sort of the conversion of your big standalone funds into umbrella fund setups. We've tracked sort of contribution rates of members, average contribution rates across different employers, across different industries. And we've also tracked issues around, group risk benefits, what the average group risk benefits are in the industry. But what sort of changed in the past few years is that we've also started including a consumer survey. And that sort of speaks to your opening, where we've started trying to get a sense of what's actually happening at an individual member level. And this is where this year, from our consumer survey, we've picked up just how widespread the issue around financial stress is and how many people are actually struggling. We had as many as 62% of the pensioners that we surveyed saying that they did not believe that South Africa's challenges would be resolved in their lifetime. Mm. And I think, that's quite worrying. And then from a consumer survey perspective, quite a big number, at least 54%, say that they were worried that when they get to retirement, they won't have enough saved up to have a comfortable life in retirement. So we now have this information on retirement funds, on pensioners, and we've added the consumer survey, which paints a grim picture that you spoke to right at the beginning.
Yeah. And maybe let's talk about that in a little bit more detail in terms of financial insecurity. I see that emerged as a major theme within the report. 54% of those being surveyed worried, as you say, about not having sufficient funds. And maybe we can peel back the layers at this, because it does seem as though us being in a political year and seeing a lot of concerns around our fiscal structure and direction has weighed heavily on the minds of South African consumers.
Yeah, no, 100%. One of the stats we've always had within the industry, I've been in this industry for just about 15, 16 years now, is that we still have, firstly, outside of the low savings rate, we still have this issue where those who are saving towards retirement, towards their retirement, we predict that only 6% are in line to have a comfortable retirement or have enough to have a comfortable retirement. And the way we track that, that all we look at is that the lump sum you're going to have when you get to retirement, how much of your final salary can you get as a pension with that lump sum? So as a monthly payment. And the number that we think is the right number to have as a pension on a monthly basis is about 70 to 75% of your final salary. Now, the issue that we have is that a lot of people that are saving towards their retirement are tracking to only having, between 20 and 30% of their final salary, which just shows you how bad the problem is, where most people will not be able to sustain their living standards that they have just before retirement. So, it's problematic. And you spoke at the beginning also about Two-Pot. Two-Pot is something that obviously we support, given that it helps with some of the short-term issues that we have around, the indebtedness that consumers have. Mm. So they've got access to their retirement savings where they can cover some of their debt or cover emergencies into the future. The problem that we have is that this actually means there's some sort of, withdrawal of those retirement savings. In the long term, we know for a fact that now that, a certain pot can never be touched, that will help in the long term. But in the short term, we're going to see some assets exit our retirement industry, which will obviously affect, that replacement ratio that I spoke about, or the amounts that people have to buy a pension when they get to retirement.
This is so important, because I guess it also gives us an understanding of the kind of pressure that South Africans do find themselves under. And is this translating into results that show that perhaps we still struggle to save and never mind just save, but also managing our debt adequately?
Without a doubt. So with this two-part legislation that comes into effect 1 September, we did a survey in 2022 to get a sense of how many people would actually access their savings once it came into effect. And in 2022, 37% said they would. Now, fast forward to 2024, and 59%, as high as 59% actually say that, you know, they would access their savings. So it is worrying, and it actually gives you an idea of, you know, how indebted people currently are in the South African economy. And linked to that, something I think you also spoke about or touched on in your intro, is that we then saw high levels of financial stress across the people that we surveyed. So as much as 80% say that they were experiencing financial stress. And from our data, we know that the financial stress is what's actually leading to a lot of the mental issues that we see within our member base, across, you know, things like anxiety, depression. A lot of it is stemming from financial stress.
And this is a concern because I guess this financial stress also restricts some of the decisions or flexibility or options we try to tap into. I guess when it comes to finding innovative ways of, and not just innovative, but really just accessing the solutions that institutions like you as Sanlam have to make sure that we can live comfortably. So are we seeing that South Africans are, I guess, restricted in terms of their thinking? And here I'm actually thinking of, you know, making an extra contribution to a retirement annuity and to maximizing the tax benefit that comes off of that, covering your risk to make sure that in the case of any concerns, you know, you're adequately covered. I say this with excitement. You can tell I was meant to be a financial planner. But tell us more. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're touching on a topic that was sort of the highlight of our symposium this year. So now we know people are indebted, we know people are struggling, we know people want to tap into their savings. And we also surveyed people that did access their savings last year or their retirement. When they change jobs and they access their retirement savings, what do they do with it? Over 60% say that they covered some of their debts, and then it was also for you know, just living expenses. Now, to the point that you're making, what's then linked to the survey that we picked up is that most people actually access advice from online channels such as Google, YouTube, TikTok, and not many actually speaking to a financial planner. So as little as 27% confirmed that they're speaking to a financial planner. And the issue with that, to your point just now, is that what you need if you are in debt, if you're struggling with your savings, if you're not tracking towards a good retirement, you need a plan. And the plan can only come from a registered financial planner. And I think that's the issue we have as an industry. We need to increase the level of financial literacy in the industry and make sure that people understand what the benefits are of a financial plan. Because that financial plan is not only going to cover your debt issues, your debt repayments, but you've touched on it now. It's going to cover issues around what is the right level of cover that you need to have from a life cover perspective. And it's going to cover what is the right contribution you need to have to track to whatever goal you have at a retirement, from a retirement perspective. So this issue around advice and the low take-up of advice was a big worry for us. I didn't expect so many people to be getting advice from online channels. And we all know the issue with online channels is the fake news and the amount of fraud that also exists on those platforms. So that is a worrying aspect. And I think as an industry, you know, we have to do better in terms of people understanding, you know, the benefits of actually going via the right financial channels.
Definitely. And a beautiful example of that is what we see in the results regarding alternative or additional savings that South Africans might have outside of their company retirement fund. And the top three, actually, savings account sits at 39%, retirement annuity 26%, fixed deposit account 23%. And whilst we, you know, celebrate the fact that South Africans are financially disciplined to put this money away, but the truth is they're not fully optimizing the right tools to make sure that they, make their money work for them, right?
100%. And the one that comes at number four, that's there, is stock fails are still coming in at 21%. Yes. So, you know, it begs the question around, in 2024, we still have such a high number of people that are contributing to stock fails. The research that we looked at was saying that the stock fail community in South Africa equates to about 45 billion in assets and growing. And it's about 11 million adults that are contributing to stock fails, which is about 40% of the adult population. Now, for me, the worrying aspect, and it's not that, you know, there's any bias that we have towards our products, or, you know, we think stock fails are not a worthy savings channel. I think the issue that we have is that some of those should be over and above the legislated products or the legislated avenues that we have. You spoke about it. We all know tax-free savings accounts were introduced, and there are benefits to that, you know. But that information is not there with your employee on the streets. The financial literacy levels in South Africa are quite low, and that is the first challenge that we have. Whether we take this into high schools and we start, you know, financial literacy at that level, that might be the right approach. But the issue is really around financial literacy. Because I can tell you now, what you won't find in the stats is the number of people that probably still have money, you know, underneath their mattresses.
Yes.
Because it's just a lack of trust in terms of what we offer as investment houses, and what maybe the banks also offer from a banking solution perspective.
Exactly. And I think this is important as well, because it also underscores that critical currency when it comes to managing money or having a relationship around your money, and that's trust.
Yes.
That needs to be established and has been established by institutions like Sanlam, more than a century old, and many of your peers within the industry. And I think it's important for us, as I guess in this conversation, to also highlight how it is that from a legal framework, there's a number of policies that work in our favor as consumers to protect us from any financial malfeasance from regulated bodies, or rather regulated businesses like yourself, but also to make sure that we understand the products that we're buying and that they actually meet our needs. And perhaps that's typically the hesitance South Africans have when it comes to going to a financial advisor, thinking, uzongitayisela insurance, when that's not the case.
Correct.
It's meant to be a relationship to make sure that, as per the law, you have your financial needs met with the right financial product, but focused actually on understanding what your needs are.
Spot on. I'm convinced that if our members and employees are empowered to understand some of these topics and these products better, they'll be more confident, you know, in the information that they're receiving from institutions like Sanlam, and they can better understand the implications of the decisions that they make today. Because one of the stats from our research is what pensioners are telling us, that they wish they had had advice, they wish they had had information much earlier that they were not going to track towards a good retirement. But then we've got an opportunity to fix that with the younger population or the younger generation that's contributing now. But we're not getting to them. You know, we're not getting the information to them. We're not getting the financial literacy levels up. We're not getting them to contribute more, to take advantage of the tax benefits of contributing to a retirement fund.
And maybe that leaves us on a note where we can have everyone feeling empowered. So now that we know that psychologically we do have a pessimistic mindset when it comes to our money, we are saving, but perhaps in accounts that we can quickly access, and not really adequately planning for the long term. And maybe sometimes we're under so much strain that we actually do want to take from the money that we are planning to save for the long term. Where do we start? How do we go about having a conversation with a financial advisor? And how do we prepare for it, especially given that everyone's at a different stage of their life, but also of their financial needs?
Yeah, I think the online channels that people are using to try and get information on products and information of what stocks to buy, those online channels can be used to just try and get a decent financial advisor. And they are decent financial advisor across all your big companies. So if you go online, Sanlam, the other companies all have financial advisors. You're not linked, you know, there's not one financial advisor that would push you towards. And I think what's also important for people to understand is that the charging model for a lot of financial advisors is really around the products that you buy, some of the earned fees from those products, and they'll disclose that. Mm-hmm. So it's not that, you know, there's this upfront payment you need to make to the financial advisor. I think people just need to try it. There's no meeting, you know, there's no initial or consultation fees. Financial advisors are there to put a plan in place, which covers not only retirement and savings aspects, but more importantly, they will help you with debt issues, and they'll also help you with your, you know, life cover, disability cover. We've seen a spike in other diseases, you know, such as cancer.
Yes.
And those type of claims. And people don't have cover for those diseases. And you've got people where most times are the sole breadwinner, and they're not covering the salary that's you know, that's been put in place to account for maybe what, 8-9 people. So that's what a financial advisor will help you with. It's across different aspects of your entire financial plan.
And I think that's so important, right? It's about actually saying, this is my life. These are my goals. These are my objectives. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. This is what I'd like to do. How do we make it happen with the funds I have available to me right now? Taking into account the responsibilities that you also need to cover. And it's refreshing, Zwa, that you're helping us share the information that that's exactly what financial advisors are there for. Not just selling insurance, typically, as the street name goes, right?
Correct. I know we've got a bad rep as an industry that we're trying to sell you 3-4 funeral policies, and our gogos are sitting with policies they'll never claim from. But I can still vouch for the industry that there are still a lot of good financial advisors out there who are sitting with the data that we've just released, and they understand the role that they can play in making an impact on people's lives in South Africa.
Definitely. So I guess as a close-off note, as you've mentioned, we might be feeling financially stressed, but the truth is that we can de-stress with the right guidance. And it doesn't start with Googling for financial help, rather Google for a financial advisor, right?
And have a plan in place and then just execute on that plan on a monthly, quarterly basis, annual basis, but just get a plan as soon as possible.
100%. Zwa, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Truly appreciate your time and more so the insight that you've shared with us today. For anyone who does want to read the report and actually get a better understanding of the information, where can we find it?
Yeah, so thanks, Google. The report is there on our website. So it's sanlam.co.za/benchmark. So that's where you'll find the report. We've got the articles to support some of the stats that are there. But I think it'll be an interesting read, given that it's covering not only retirement-related topics, but also actual consumer man-on-the-streets type topics and stats.
100%. Nzwa, I might have to keep you on the line for a little bit longer, so I'm hoping that your dinner won't get too cold. But speaking about man-on-the-street, thank you. One of our listeners, Tibello is calling from Northgate and has a critical question around financial advice. So we thought we'd sneak it in. Tibello, welcome to the show.
Hi, G.
Lovely to have you, and thank you for calling. You have a question, right?
Yeah, it's a challenge and a question to your guest is around, he mentioned financial advice and how the ordinary South African sort of doesn't necessarily seek that advice or want to seek that advice. And maybe I answer rather, is the correct advice being given? Because in a sort of cash flow strapped country, the question I ask is, are financial advisors advising people on how to actually earn income and grow the actual cash flow? Rather than just saving for retirement. Uh-huh. Are financial advisors actually saying, this is how much you can actually grow your current income. This is how much you can actually earn more. These are some of the vehicles you can use to actually grow your current income. Rather than this is how much you can put away for retirement. Because the problem, I think, the challenge here is around if I'm dipping into my savings in order to manage my current cash flow, that means I've got a cash flow problem, not necessarily a saving problem. Mm. And I guess the question is, are financial advisors tackling that question? Because a lot of the time when I'm going onto social media,
sure,
I'm not necessarily looking at how to save my money. Sure. I'm looking at how to grow my money. How to earn more money. So I want more money in my bank account at month end, on the weekend. And that's the question I pose to your guest. Thank you so much, guys.
Great question, Tibello. And I think really relevant given the times that we're in. I'll repeat the question for you, Nzwa. Tibello actually gave us a wonderful synopsis as to perhaps how it is that we need to refine or better or enhance the assistance that financial planners and advisors are able to share with us. Because typically South Africans might not have a saving problem. It's clear that we can put money away, but we have a challenge in terms of growing and increasing our revenue streams, how to earn more money, how to grow that money, and understanding the avenues we can tap into there. So I'm hoping that you can, respond to this. Are we finding that advisors are able to shift the status quo and help us earn greater income and grow that money?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear the question, but thanks for repeating it, Google. I think typically what you're going to find from financial advisors is that, the first sort of discussion they'll have with you is around your risk appetite. And risk appetite is usually linked to age. You've got a longer way to retirement. And the more, risk averse you are, they'll put you in much less riskier type products. But the younger people, they'll put you in much more aggressive products, you know, with offshore exposure, and you've got a higher chance of earning higher returns there. But to Tivele's point, you know, just to touch on that issue on extra income and, you know, whether the other channels to get additional revenue. One of the aspects we spoke to at the benchmark event was this issue of what else do I have outside of, you know, two-pot savings? What alternatives do I have outside of accessing my two-pot savings? Mm-hmm. And we spoke about, obviously, you know, the financial advice issue that I spoke to now. But there's a whole host of sort of budgeting tools that exist on all product providers' websites. There's also, you know, people need to start changing their behavior. So we saw now in our benchmark survey where as much as 80% confirmed that they've changed their shopping behavior based on the rewards that they can earn at different retailers and different grocery stores. So that might not speak directly to additional revenue lines, but it speaks to savings that now exist here and there, which all add up. You know, if you start tapping into these reward systems and discounts, I think that influences behavior. And it would also help, you know, with people having just a bit more at the end of the month to save.
Yeah,
it's very difficult in this economy to, you know, get a side hustle or a side gig, as people call them, that gives you an additional income outside of your, you know, outside of your day job. But I think outside of that side gig, there's also behavior patterns that can change within our day-to-day treatment of money or relationship with money that can assist us.
Got you. And I'm glad that you touch on that, because I understand that's where Tibelo was alluding to in terms of saying, well, it's great that you earn one salary, but how do we make sure that you can grow this or earn more or have a side hustle? And I guess it just goes to show how tough the economy is right now, that that's where many of us are as South Africans, to make sure that we have more than one revenue stream to generate the kind of comfort that we'd like to enjoy. So a big thank you to Tibelo for asking that question. Really thought-provoking and really critical, and a good place to start as well when one does sit down opposite a financial advisor or financial planner. Nzwa, thank you so much as well for keeping us informed. This is certainly an ongoing conversation, and we look forward to touching base with you in the upcoming weeks as well, just to evaluate the implications of the two-pot system, because there's a lot of complexity that for the average South African like you and I, yeah, we might struggle to understand. So very important that we do unpack what that means and how it influences our lives.
Looking forward to it, and thanks for having me, Gugu.
Thank you. Much appreciated. That's Nzwa Shoniwa, who is a managing executive at Sanlam Umbrella Solutions, and really giving us some insight into the Sanlam benchmark. This has given us a lot of clarity about the anxiety that we have as South African citizens when it comes to our money. And there are a number of takeaways here, because I think, if anything, this just tells us the reality of the situation that we're living in. How many of us sit around the braai, sit with family, with colleagues, and when we comment about being an adult, we bemoan it, that adulting. And of course, that is also reflected in some of the tough financial decisions we've had to take. We all know someone who perhaps has taken financial strain, and in different ways. Maybe it's losing a home or downgrading a home and a car. And maybe for the next person, it's just being behind on their credit card payments. Either way, all of us have been feeling some level of financial strain and stress. And what it is highlighting is that cash flow, quick and easy access to money, is what we appear to be prioritizing right now as we take a look that many South Africans choose to save in a savings account. Yes, we've got a retirement annuity, but there's a fixed deposit and a stock file as well. And we're not adequately capitalizing on some of the easily available products and tools like tax-free savings to really capitalize on the growth, on the earnings, and the savings that we could be implementing. And it's a very important question that our listener Tibelo also asked. We don't have a problem with saving. If many South Africans are still putting money into stock files, at least 21% of them, savings accounts as well as fixed deposit accounts, it certainly means that the discipline is there. But you just need to use the right tools to, number one, increase, augment, supplement your income. I know that's difficult given the economic climate that we're in, but we all need to try. And more so, make sure that you allocate your money into the right products and tools that actually work for your needs, not just the generic products or themes that you hear of from social media or, I guess, logging on to the news. And this is the role and function that we really prioritize here on KayaBiz, right? A lot of people might ask, where can I put my money? What do I need to do? But the truth is, it is a bespoke approach. Everyone's needs and nuances are very different. And much like going to the optometrist to get your eyes checked, Same way you get your eyes, or rather your teeth checked with a dentist, it's much the same with your health and your money and financial well-being. Speak to a financial advisor and, of course, build that relationship and that rapport. And where you do feel as though products are just being pushed at you, question, probe. You're well within your rights as a South African to say, whoa, 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 cuckoo. Why do I need 4 funeral covers? Help me walk this journey. And also understand that there's a large number of institutions themselves who have internal financial advisors and financial planners to help you learn more about how to better manage your money. Not just for today, but also for the future.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.